This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Among the theories of why Rome fell, we can now add fish sauce. Well, if not the cause, the overuse of fish sauce was at least symbolic of the decadence of the ancient Romans. In a post called Caveat Condimentor, our next guest notes some disturbing parallels between America's growing obsession with sriracha and the condiment monoculture of the ancient world. Tom Neelan collects and sells and writes about rare cookbooks and writes a series called Stuffed for High-Low Brow. Tom Neelan, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Ah, thanks very much.
So how popular was fish sauce in ancient Rome?
I mean, it was more popular than ketchup is now. I mean, probably more popular than anything we can imagine.
So it went in on everything?
Almost. By the end, the only existing cookbook from ancient Rome that we have is called a Apicius, and it's in almost every recipe.
So how was it made, this fish sauce?
There were a couple different kinds, I think, based on quality and what it was made from, whether it was mackerel guts or actual fish. But it was basically steeped in salt so that it just liquefied the fish, very similar to Thai fish sauce now or something like that. But it would just, they'd sit it out in the sun.
Ooh, that sounds pretty stinky.
It was. That's why they had to move the factories outside of cities because people complained so much.
Well, there was a considerable amount of energy and the economy devoted to producing fish sauce. You found evidence of the recipe for fish sauce becoming less pure as its popularity grew. What was going into fish sauce?
Almost everything. Cockles, you know, mussel, almost any sea creature you can imagine. You know, eels, you know, just the fins of eels. Everything that, according to Pliny at least, everything from the ocean that you could imagine fishing out of there, they would melt down with salt and turn into fish sauce.
So is this a sign of something much deeper, Tom Neelan?
I think it was. I think it was a sign of the decadence, of the extremes that they'd gone to, where, you know, everyone was a Roman citizen, so everyone had this right to fish sauce, so they'd just turn everything into fish sauce.
So it mirrored the decline of the empire, as you write. You've discovered a parallel in America's burgeoning condiment monoculture, which I would have think would be ketchup, but no.
It's not. You know, ketchup never really got, because Heinz standardized it, and there's only really one way to make ketchup. People have tried with some of those green ketchup, but nothing else ever caught on. So it was never this, put it on everything unless you're a five-year-old. But sriracha now seems to be going in that direction.
Well, the sriracha is in a bright red bottle with a green top and a rooster, also been called hipster ketchup. What are some of the parallels between Rome's fish sauce and today's sriracha?
Well, you have the counterfeits of this, and now everyone's making it. I just ran into Badia now makes a sriracha. Everybody's making sriracha, and you can turn anything into it. If you go to DIY sriracha on Google, you'll find all sorts of horrifying ideas about things you could make out of.
So they're watering down sriracha in the same way that it happened with fish sauce in Rome.
And it's going to go offshore, just so you know. It used to be, at least we made it out in California, although, you know, just like the fish sauce factories, they had to move one of the sriracha factories because people were complaining about the stench and the burning of eyes and that you get from all those chilies being pureed.
Well, is there an upside, though? I mean, it's the ubiquity of sriracha does suggest that we're getting away from the bland, waspy food traditions of America in the 20th century, anyway.
No question. In the middle of the century was a real dead spot for condiments and for culture. That's where ranch dressing came from, the blandness of the middle of the 20th century.
Well, you know, it's so rare that we get to speak to a condiment historian. So can you settle for me the difference between catsup, the C-A-T-S-U-P, and ketchup?
I tend to say catsup, C-A-T-S-U-P. They're both transliterations of approximations of a Chinese word. So really neither of them's right. But catsup is what I tend to call the whole range of them. Before there was just tomato ketchup, there was walnut and cockle ketchup, and oyster ketchup, and mushroom ketchup. So I tend to call those catsup.
Cockles as in cockles and mussels alive-o.
Yep, exactly.
So, Tom, I mean, if you're looking at condiments as some sort of bellwether of our culture, where are we going?
That's a good question, you know. But I would say it doesn't look good. I think there's too much sriracha out there, and it's weeding out all the hot sauces. Sriracha's great, but it's a puree. It's really not the same thing. It doesn't have the same vinegary bite. And you have all these counterfeits, just like you did with the fish sauce. You know, fake srirachas with wrong colored caps and dragons instead of roosters, and just like you did when you would farm it out, and you'd have, you know, counterfeit Spanish fish sauce and, you know, Sardinian fish sauce when they'd farmed these factories out of Rome. So I would say it's something to be watched.
Tom Nealon, he collects and sells and writes about rare cookbooks. Thank you so much for joining us.
All right, thank you.
Tom's series is called Stuffed, that he writes for High Low Brow, and you can find a link to that as well as his extremely popular De Condimentis series with topics from gravy bastardization to balsamic lies, among others. The link is at wordofmouthradio.org.